Hi, and welcome to the PodMag, the audio news magazine from the Faculty of Arts and Social Science at the Open University. I'm Karen Foley, and in this August edition, we take a look at three more new modules that will be available this autumn. If you haven't already registered, there is still time to do so, but do it soon because registration closes on the 14th of September. The first of the modules that we focus on is A277, Exploring Religion, and Paul Francois Chamlet told me all about it. So, Paul, tell us about your new module.
Our new module is A227. It's our new second-level module, replacing A217. It's called Exploring Religion, and we've got a couple of really interesting aspects to the module in terms of curriculum, you know, the content of the module and some of the pedagogy that goes with it, through which we're hoping to sort of enhance students' enjoyment and experience of their learning.
The previous module that you did was very much a religious studies 101 type thing. How is this then different?
That's right. The previous module was introducing you to discrete religious traditions, and then you'd learn them in terms of core beliefs and practices and so forth. In this module, what we're focusing on is what we're calling lived religion. And so the focus is less on traditions as kind of complete, but also somewhat abstract systems of belief and practice. The focus in A227 is on how ordinary people are living out their religion in complex cultural, social, political and economic contexts. There's still historical dimensions as well as contemporary material, but it's much more focused on what people are really doing in their individual and daily lives.
And it's very interdisciplinary. I mean, even from the way you're talking about things, the religious component is one of many factors that you're exploring, including sociology, history, anthropology, etc. This would obviously appeal to students who wanted to study religious studies, but what about other students who may be doing an open degree, who may be interested in those other aspects? Why would this module appeal to them?
Well, I think what this module has got is, firstly, in terms of the kinds of disciplinary skills that we're developing through the course of the module. I think students with a background in history or sociology or politics could conceivably be interested in this module, precisely because we look at religion, for example, in colonial situations. We look at religion in terms of its political weights and burdens, if you like. And we're also looking, because for us religion is always social and cultural, I think students with a background in sociology or history are also going to find a lot of what we're encouraging them to do very exciting.
Now, you've put together some very innovative module material for this. Can you just give us one example of something that you're particularly proud of?
I'm going to talk about units that I wrote because I know those better. I wrote one unit called Liquid Religion. It belongs in the first block. The first block is about places. And Liquid Religion is about religion in the Philippines during the Spanish colonial period and up to the present. And what the unit does is it takes the student through a journey of colonialism and Christianization of local Filipino populations by the Spanish colonial authorities, but at the same time telling that story of Filipino religious innovation, where Filipinos are adapting the Christianity that is initially imposed on them and then creatively reworking it in terms of their pre-existing culture and developing new ideas, new practices and essentially new religions, and right the way through to the present day. Another unit I wrote was about cargo cults. Again, it's about religion in colonial and also heavily racialized and politicized situations, but also it's about the creativity of local populations working with missionary Christianity and then turning it into something new and innovative and creative.
Sounds like a fascinating module, Paul. Thank you for telling us.
Thanks a lot.
Next, we take a look at A329, The Making of Welsh History, and Richard Marsden told me why it's great preparation for postgraduate study for history and classics students.
Richard, can you fill us in on A329? What is the module about and who's going to be studying it?
Certainly, Karen. A329 is The Making of Welsh History. So what the module does is it covers 1,000 years of Welsh history from the medieval period to the modern age. But it also acts as a way of enabling students to study a whole set of much broader themes through the kind of case study of Welsh history. That includes things like medieval conflict, the Reformation, the Industrial Revolution, modern protest movements and the development of kind of modern nationalism.
And students studying this will, of course, be from maybe a classics or a history background. What's interesting, though, is despite this cramming in of 1,000 years of Welsh history into the first part of the module, the second part involves a dissertation, which is very exciting. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you say, the first 18 weeks of the course, we'll be learning about Welsh history and about some of the themes I've just described. And then the second half, students will be able to do their own dissertation. And that means that's a 6,000-word piece of historical research where students will pick their own question and their own research area. And then they will be responsible, with support from their tutor, for going off, researching that and producing a piece of historical scholarship on an area that they've chosen.
And what a fantastic and unique opportunity for students who are thinking about doing an MA. Tell us how this is structured so that they get a good experience of what doing a dissertation involves.
This module is an end in itself, because doing a dissertation is a great thing for any history or classics student to do, but it's also intended if students are interested in going on to an MA in history or classics to set them up for that. So the first couple of TMAs are kind of standard history type essays, history classics type essays, but the third and fourth TMAs relate to the dissertation directly. So the third TMA is a research proposal where students will talk about the kind of questions they want to ask about their topic and the sources they're going to use. And then the fourth TMA relates to the first chapter of the dissertation. And the nice thing about that is that all the way through, students will be able to get feedback from their tutor as they go through those stages. And that's why we've set the assessment up in that way.
Now, the other unique opportunity that students will have, which again is really invaluable if you're thinking about going on to further study, is the opportunity to work collaboratively. Can you tell us how you've done that and why it's so important?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we think this is really important. When I say we, the module team, we think this is really important because if you go on to postgraduate study, you'll find that you'll be working quite closely with other students, bouncing ideas off one another. So that's something that we've tried to do on A329, tried to put in there on A329. So that means that there are lots of activities, just like our normal OU modules. The difference on A329 is you're not going to be doing them on your own. You're going to be doing them online with other students. So you'll see how other students respond to them, and you'll be able to discuss the issues that come out of that. And then when it comes to the assignments, students will also be looking at each other's work and offering constructive comments on that. I should stress that this isn't kind of group assessment. There's no group marks. All your work will be individual and all your marks will be individual. The difference is that you'll be also given the opportunity to kind of get feedback, not just from your tutor, but from other students who are on the journey as you are.
And if people are doing dissertations that they're selecting the subject area for, I guess they're going to be sharing a lot of useful advice. So it's almost like students helping students. They might suggest things that they've read. Is that the kind of way it would work?
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea here is that, you know, many heads are better than one. So, you know, we might have activities, well, we will have activities where, you know, each student will be asked to, you know, read and summarise a different article or a different chapter. And then they'll put that all on a repository online. And what you'll get at the end of that is a great resource where there's 20 or 30 or 40 different summaries of different chapters that students can look at, but they've only had to read one themselves. So it's that kind of multiplier effect that we're going for.
Excellent. And I guess you'd also learn a lot about seeing how other students have tackled those as well as the content.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of this is about sharing skills and developing approaches. So what you can do is you can look at what someone else has done and you can go, oh, do you know what? That is a great way of approaching that particular activity or that particular skill. I'm going to try and do something similar when I come to do that kind of thing next time around. So, you know, it's learning from each other in terms of kind of knowledge, but also how you go about kind of doing history.
Sounds really exciting, Richard. All the best with the module.
Thank you, Karen.
Finally, and also at Level 3, we have A344, Art and its Global Histories. Warren Carter filled me in.
Warren, tell us about Art and its Global History. What is the module all about?
The module starts from 1350 and runs to the present day. And essentially, it's looking at the latest methodological challenge to the subject, i.e. post-colonialism. And that is a critique of the Western canon and the way that art history is largely dealt with objects made, exhibited, and distributed within Europe. So it's looking at how that particular canon of objects or that assortment of objects were a product of unequal relationships between Europe and the rest of the world through the age of exploration, through colonialism, imperialism, up to the present, and globalization.
So that's the historical aspect. And tell us about the art. I mean, what sort of objects or artifacts are students going to encounter on this module?
Everything, ranging from 1350 through to the present. There's obviously high art with painting, sculpture and architecture, but also visual culture more generally. Maps are very important for, of course, dealing with global art history, as well as things like wallpaper, which reflects chinoiserie and the way that aristocrats in England in the 18th century used wallpaper sourced from other places. Also things like crockery, delftware, etc. So there really is everything that comes into this course. It's a course which represents not just high art, but material culture more generally.
I mean, one of the examples I know that you include in the course is a shawl. I mean, what sort of thing would a shawl tell us about, you know, the historical aspects surrounding it as an artefact?
Well, that relates to Block 3, and it's looking at how these particular shawls were being made in India, and then after the during the period of the British Empire, the techniques for making a shawl were then taken back home to Paisley, the Paisley pattern, and they were made more intensely there, and then they were exported back into India. So it's looking at how under colonialism and imperialism, certain things were appropriated, manufactured elsewhere, and it changes the whole dynamic of production in the original country that was colonised.
Now, this module is obviously going to be studied by students who are passionate about art history, but it's got a broader appeal.
Very much so. First of all, I mean, it's geography. A history of art and its global histories is about things moving around the world and particular power relations underpin those movements, but also generally history. If you're interested in history, this is a course which, through the prism of art, visual culture, seeks to unpack the historical dynamics and power relations that are changing constantly from the mid-14th century through to the present.
And it sounds like a really exciting module. What makes it special for you?
I started teaching over 20 years ago, and as with a lot of my peers, the first thing we did when we first started teaching history of art was go out and buy the Open University third level art history textbooks, and they've always been absolutely amazing, and I've done that ever since. And now I'm chairing a course and responsible for producing a third level course with my colleagues, so it's very, very exciting, and I still pinch myself when I think about it.
I'm sure the students will enjoy it also. Warren Carter, thank you so much.
And that's all we have time for in this edition. If you'd like to find out more about these modules, have a look online on the OU's website. There's also a series of videos that you can watch about each new module, and these are on catch-up on the Student Hub Live website, studenthublive.open.ac.uk. Remember to connect with the Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences also on Facebook and Twitter. Bye for now, and thanks for listening.